So I want to think about this morning serving a sovereign God. God is sovereign. And do we believe that this morning? Do we believe that God Almighty, the one that places where we are, in the land we live, in the time we live, do we believe that God is sovereign? Or do we live each day by chance? That it might work and it might not. Our God, the creator of the universe, is answerable to no one. He's sovereign. We think about sovereign nations, we think about sovereign people, we think about a sovereignty. It stands by itself. And we, his subjects, on a land that he created, it doesn't have to make sense to us. He works a plan of his own choosing, a plan of his own direction, a plan with his own ending, because God is sovereign. God can be a, we can, if you look at the sovereignty, if you look at sovereignty in a standalone, absolute way, you can think about a dictator. And God, we can call God that, but God may be that, but he's also our loving comforter. He's a supreme ruler, but he's gentle. He's our gentle personal aid. So why is God sovereign? To start with, I want to look at point number one. God is sovereign because it's his being. And there's several attributes I want to look at that. So first off, why is God sovereign? It's because in his being, God is eternal. And I don't know if we as mere mortals can wrap our minds around the eternity of God. Open your Bible to Genesis 1, verse 1. Genesis 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning, God. It doesn't say, in the beginning, God was created. It said, in the beginning, God created. It just starts there. The world we live in, the world we have, had a beginning. But in the beginning, God. God is. Sometimes we say God was and God will be, but it's important to wrap our mind around that God is. A perfect state, a perfect being, eternal. He always was and he always will be because God is. Nothing changes with God. In Psalm 90, verse 2, it says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And in John chapter 17, verse 24, Jesus talking with his Father there in the prayer, Jesus says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, God is. And our minds, we start spinning back. And our minds, everything has to start somewhere. And the earth started somewhere. And we believe that. We don't believe that we don't believe in the evolution, in the Big Bang. It was a Big Bang. God spoke and it was. It started right then. Before it was nothing. But God is eternal. We do not know, we cannot comprehend how far back it goes because it just goes on and on and on. And just as it goes on forever in the back, and we can't wrap our minds around that. Also, everything we know of in life will come to an end. And whenever we cease to be and the generation after us ceases to be, like the generations before us cease to be, and this world ceases to be, God is. Because God is eternal in the end. He always will be. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, there's several verses we want to catch. Verse 9, it says, and the four beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sitteth on the throne, he liveth forever. And ever, again in verse 10, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before him, saying, Thou art worthy, O God, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Forever and ever and ever and ever. And everything in our minds, at least in my mind, it's maybe a shallow mind. But after a while, it stops. I can think so far and it has to stop. It just has to stop. But God is eternal. So God is sovereign because his being is eternal. He always created for his glory, and he always will create for his glory because God is eternal. As temporal man, we can't get that. In 2 Peter 3, verse 8, it says, But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. 1,000 years is a long time. You know, the earth's only been established for about 6,000 years. Think about 1,000 years ago was 10. 1,000 years ago was 1025. And it was in that segment of time that the Vikings were landed in Newfoundland. And the Inca wasn't even around yet. This is a long time ago. That was just 1,000 years ago. Now, I can remember what happened yesterday because I lived yesterday. But to God, it's one day. 1,000 years, one day. It's no difference to him. And you go back another 1,000 years before that, it was 25 AD, and Jesus was not teaching yet. That's 2 days. Can we as men, can we as individuals, can we as creatures God created, we can't wrap our mind around that. And we say, thank you, Lord, because we know that if he is conducting everything in his glory, with his eternity, everything will continue to come back to what he created in the end because he knows the end from the beginning. Another reason God can be sovereign is because of his two attributes, his omniscience and his immutability. Sorry. He is all-knowing and he is unchanging. And are we convinced of that this morning, that God is all-knowing and he will not change? God is all-knowing. There's nothing hidden from the face of God, ever. There is no surprises, ever. He is sovereign in our lives because even though he gives creatures choices and we can choose, God already knows what our choice is going to be. And he will conduct the next thing to come into our lives because he knows our choice. Matthew 25, verse 34 says, Then shall the king say to them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. When man sinned in the garden, God knew that was going to happen. It did not take God by surprise. And sometimes I struggle with that in my mind. It's like, so why? But God had a reason. So God knew before the earth was created that he was going to create this man, and he was going to make wrong choices, and then he was going to send his son and bring this man back to God. All knowing. In Matthew 6, verse 7 and 8, when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they should be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. God knows our very need. He knows everything about us before we ask, because God is sovereign, all-knowing. Ezekiel 11, verse 5, And the Spirit of God fell upon me and said unto me, Speak, thus saith the Lord, thus have you said, O house of Israel, I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. There's nothing hid from God because he is all-knowing. And because God is all-knowing, God can be sovereign. It says in Matthew 10, verse 30, that even the very hairs of your head are numbered. And some of us, he has more to keep track of than others. But God knows and he cares about the fine details of man. So not only is God all-knowing, but he is also unchanging. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am God, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." In James 1:17, "For every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning." You know, when you think about changing, when something changes, it either goes from a greater state to a lesser state or a lesser state to a greater state. Something needs to change. And when we believe that God is and God is perfect and God's not going to change, it's because God is perfect and he cannot get greater than what God is, because he is the utopia. And God cannot get lesser than what God is, because then he would no longer be God. So God will never change. And he will always be the same, and he expects the same. He expects us to recognize that and give him glory because of that. So where do we fit? So we think about God. He is eternal. He's all-knowing. He's unchanging. He's God. He's supreme in our lives. And who's man? So where do we fit in this? First off, we are creatures created to bring glory to God. Turn with me to Genesis 1:26-27. Genesis 1:26-27, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Genesis 2:7, it says, "And the Lord formed man out of the dust of the earth, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Who is man? Man is created in the image of Almighty God, and man is created by the dust of the earth. And man is created to have dominion over the earth. So perfect God in his vastness, in his all-knowing, he chose to make this mortal being out of dirt. And said, "Now you're going to take dominion over this earth I created." Is God sovereign? He is. He knew it. And he created his perfect plan. In chapter 1:28, it says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of this earth, and every tree which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you shall be given for meat. And for every beast, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything he made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." So God gave everything in the earth. He created it to sustain man, to bring glory back to himself. And he looked at it and he said, "It's very good." He said, "It works. This is the way I wanted it. This is the way I created it. And it's going to work." He created animals that are much bigger than man, but he gave man power to control the animal. And man, he created the animals and man both out of dirt, but man is the one that God stepped down and he breathed into man the breath of life. And man became a living soul. A living soul to praise the Lord Almighty, to bring glory back to himself. Man can study this marvelous creation that God created for years and years and years. And man will never get to fully comprehend the smallness of God's creation, and neither will he ever comprehend the largeness of God's creation. The astronomers and the telescopes you have in space go on, and bigger and bigger, and they keep seeing it, it's bigger and it's bigger. And they can't get and then they see something else. And they want to say it's chance. But when we see that, can we be convinced that it's the power of Almighty God who reigns supreme in our lives? So when God placed man here, he placed man here with a choice. And he also determined that man was only going to be, well, after man fell, he determined that man was only going to be here a short time and then pass on. Psalms 90, verse 9 and 10 says, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength, labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly away." You know, man, us mortal men, in the eternity and vastness of God are just a blip. Just a small thing. We don't know how long we're going to live here. We might live tomorrow. We might die yet today. We can't control what's going to happen. We can work with the laws God established and planned. We expect the sun to come up tomorrow. But can we control it? We plan our week out. We expect it to work out. And the weathermen, the weather predictors give a chance at what might happen. But can we control it? Small mortal man. Millions of us God created. Each of us very, very small in the vastness of God. But God has a plan for us. God has a plan for each person. Because God is sovereign. He knows when we were created. And He knows when we are going to die. He knows that whole span. And we as mortal man, we fall in that place one day and step at a time. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." So God knows our ending before we were started. He told Jeremiah that I knew you in your mother's womb. And God called, had a plan for Jeremiah in that time. And in God's sovereignty, He has the same plan for you and I today. In Luke chapter 19, turn with me there. Luke chapter 19, verse 12. Luke chapter 19, verse 12. "And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come. But his servants hated him and sent a message after him, saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he returned, having received the kingdom, that he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, and that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. It came to the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well done. He said, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, thou shalt have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said, Likewise to him, be thou also over five cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down. And reapest thou that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money to the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. And he said, And for I say unto you, that every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those thine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me." A king had a plan, and he took what he had and he gave it to his subjects, people, And he says, I'm going to go away and I'm going to come back after a while. This is the plan. And those people looked at him and says, we don't want nothing to do with it. We're not going to serve him. He's not the man I want to serve. And they made their personal decisions on what they were going to do with where God put them, with what the king told them to do. But you know, we see in verse 21 and 22 that whether or not the man wants to recognize, whether or not we as men want to recognize our place in the kingdom of God, God is still sovereign in this world. And all man, no matter what, is going to be answerable to God at his return. So why does this matter? Why does it matter that God is sovereign and we as mortals recognize our place as small people? Why does that actually matter? I mean, God created us here. God created us a plan. He gave us everything and says, subdue it, make it work. And some men, some of us sometimes think that, well, we just will do that. And God, since you're gonna work behind me, it doesn't matter what I do, it's just God's gonna be behind me. Well, that might be right. But let's remember first that we must make sure we ourselves are in God's plan, or God will not be in our lives. So why does it matter? Whenever I recognize and accept that God is sovereign in this world and God is sovereign in my life, it is only then that I can accept where God placed me in life. You know, whenever I finally believe and wrap my mind around that I am here, that you were placed where you were placed in the year of 2025, at the age you are in this year, God knew that from the beginning. God knew that from the beginning of time. And when I recognize that, then I can accept whatever God placed, why God placed me where He did. You know, we were reading this morning through in Sunday school about what happened in Numbers and Leviticus, and I think one brother made a comment about how it just seemed like a lot of laws and a lot of repetition. But you know, God placed those people in that segment of time. And I did not choose to be born when I was so that I live in this dispensation of time. But when I look at my Almighty God and said, God, you are sovereign, then I can accept that. That God had a plan for those people back then. And God also has a plan for me. God chose to allow man to choose to follow Him. God does not force glory or praise out of man. God lets that door open for us to choose to come back to Him. Ever since man chose to walk away from God, God opened the door back for him. God has worked at different times in the different dispensations of time to work with people differently. And sometimes we get caught up in this thing of, well, then why is it different now than what it was then? It's because God's sovereign. And He can do that. When man fell, God said, the sacrifice system gets set up, and you're going to honor me but this way. Then we have the dispensation of conscience, the human government, dispensation of promise. Today we live in the dispensation of grace. When the church and state are separate, no longer today do we worry about the politics in the world. We can see what's happening. But you know, before Christ came, the chosen people of God, they fought the battles. And then died. And they were the only ones through. But today we live in the dispensation of grace. There's two kingdoms. We live in the kingdom of God. And the world does their thing. We're just here. But you know, there's a time coming when God works with men differently in the dispensation of a divine judgment. And then when Jesus comes back and reigns, it's to be a different way then. And when I recognize the sovereignty of God and let my mind go that God put this together, it doesn't have to make sense to me. It makes sense to God. I am here. And my life will be sorted out by Him. And I can rest in that. God works in the nations today. When I accept the sovereignty of God, I can look at the nations around us today. And I do not have to decide which one's right or wrong. And I don't have to be worried who's going to be president next, or like, is this really going to work? Maybe y'all don't struggle with that up there. I don't know. But you know, it gets in our circles, it gets in our blood pretty close. What is going to happen? But you know, when we read the word and we recognize that the whole thing in the end is going to be whatever God's plan is, because God is going to be glorified. He is going to set up a leader and tear down a leader and move, and His people's going to move. I don't remember the time of whenever JFK was elected, but in the Mennonite circles, it was a big deal. In the Plain circles, it was a big deal. JFK was a Catholic. And what's going to happen whenever a Catholic president, you know, what would happen if a Catholic man was actually president? And I enjoy history. And looking back at history, you know, the Cuban Missile Crisis that happened 3 years after he was elected. God had a man in a place at a time that dissipated that got that crisis dismissed. I don't know if another man would have done it another way, probably. But you know, God takes care of all that. He sets up a ruler, and then it moves on. Another ruler comes in, and the world we're around gets wound up on whether an election was stolen or whether something happened. God's sovereign. He took our nation, he took the United States and the world through a major havoc. And I think sometimes we as a church got too wound up in what's happening around us. But where are we as a church? Where are we as a people? Are we letting what God does in the world, are we letting that disturb us? Are we letting that draw us closer to God? And recognizing that the sovereignty of God will always work His will. And the sovereignty of God, He has His end plan. He wants to come back. And He wants to draw all men to Himself. And He will judge the evil. Because God's plan is eternal. He knows the end from the beginning. God transcends the other reason why it matters is God transcends times and eternity, and He works with time here on earth. As a family, we've been reading through the book of Esther, and I just was impressed about that. You know, the story of Esther there. Do we recognize the sovereignty and the perfect timing and placement of God in that story? You know, the book of Esther, sometimes there's mixed feelings in the book, but God's had a king and a queen that had a fight, and God planned that. And then He had Esther please the king and became queen. And there was an evil man that was going to annihilate the Jews. And Mordecai told Esther, he says, "Who knows if you were come to the kingdom for such a time as this? For such a time as this. And if you be quiet, the Lord's going to raise up somebody else and take your place." The sovereignty of Almighty God to bring that together. The Jews were in captivity, but they needed to have a king whose heart was turned towards them to let them go back. And you know, the queen that sat beside the king in the day of Nehemiah, it easily could have been Esther. We don't know that for sure, but it easily could have been if you look at the kings in history. So God was sovereign. He worked out His perfect will. We read the story and we say, well, God worked that out. But you know, God didn't change. We established that. And God is eternal. So in our lives today, He's also working behind the scenes to orchestrate what's going to happen in our lives. So my life is also under control, and it does matter. God is sovereign. He has a plan beyond me, and I will accept my lot where I am placed in life. Because if I don't recognize the sovereignty of God in my life, then I will fight and I will struggle why God placed me where he placed me. Why did God allow situations in my life to make me make decisions of where I am today? Why? You know, 5 years later, you start looking back and say, well, that was dumb. Why did I do that? But you know, can we have faith to believe that God placed something in your life that made you make a choice when you made that choice to work his perfect will? We cannot question why God made us the way he made us. God makes invalids. He makes handicapped people. He makes people that are healthy, and then he takes the health from other people, and they have years of sickness. Some people die at 15, some people die at 40, and some people live to see 100. Why? Some people die when they fall 8 foot, and some people fall 25 foot and bounce back. Why? It's because Almighty God placed us where he placed us for his purpose. And I will fight that and I will struggle with that until I accept that my plan in life is small. But God is sovereign. God allows his power to be limited in my life because of my choices. And I recognize the sovereignty of God. Sometimes we get wrapped up in this thing that, well, it doesn't really matter what I do, because God always has a plan. Well, he does, thankfully, because it would be a disaster if every mistake I made, God had to suddenly scrounge, work quick. But God also allows his power to be limited because of my choices. In James 4, verse 2 and 3, it says, "Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight in war, yet ye have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust." So God would love to give us things, but we as people, we don't recognize his sovereignty in our lives, and we don't ask. Because we're going to do it ourselves. We're going to do it the way I want to do it. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it because I can. It's the only way it makes sense. But can we allow the influence of our brothers and sisters in Christ to help mold us and shape us a little bit? You know, if man's heart is set towards pleasing Almighty God, he will place something in your life that continues to point you into the path of God and not out of the path of God. But when I give up on God, when I give up on the sovereignty of God, and I choose to take glory to myself, and I choose to make my own will supreme, I can't control anything. But when I give up on God and choose to make myself supreme, I make myself my own idol. And then God will decide to limit his power in your life because of that. And since God is sovereign, I will choose to bring him glory. And I will allow my life to take second place. Suddenly life, when I recognize the sovereignty of God and recognize my life under that, I can look at my brothers and sisters in church and say, you were placed here for a reason. You were placed in my life to benefit. You were placed in my life because of God. God worked in your life to make you make choices to follow God. And because of that influence, you may be changing something in my life. Proverbs 16, verse 9 says, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." You know, we can make a perfect plan, but something might turn up and suddenly we have to make a change. And we can fight that and reject it, but we can say, "God, thank you. I rest in the knowledge that when all looks hopeless to me, if I am striving to follow God, he will place me where I need to be." So as we go from here, let us be convinced that God is sovereign And what he allows to happen in your life this week, or what he allows to happen in your life in the future, God is still God. And he knows the end from the beginning. And you can choose to be part of his plan and worship him and be with him in the next life, because he will go on forever and ever and ever and ever. Or you can choose to reject the king and be one of those when God comes back from gaining his kingdom. He'll say, bring them out before me and we're going to kill them, because they knew what I wanted them to do and they refused to do it.